Good morning, friends. We are giving Debtbusters, a company, just some free airplay this morning, but I felt it was a very good clip for us to preach off the back of. And so, as Grant rightly pointed out, we are preaching through a series called Making Change, and we are tackling this topic of debt this morning. And so last Sunday, just to remind us, for those who need reminding, for those who weren't here, as we looked at this topic of less is more. And so we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. And Solomon is looking at society, the society of his age, and he's highlighting the plight of the people. And he makes this observation when he sees all the pain and the suffering and the trouble that people are experiencing. And he says it's actually better to be dead than to be alive. It's quite an indictment on the state of life. But then he says something very, very crucial and very key in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6. He says, better one handful of tranquility, or the NIV, I think, translates it as peace. Better one handful of peace or tranquility than two handfuls of strife and toil chasing after the wind. So he says a way that we can be stress-free, the way that we can find some margins and some peace in our life is to make peace with one handful. Not so much striving and not so much toil after stuff. And so last week we looked at this topic of less is more. And so sometimes we think we're going to be more satisfied, more happy, etc., if we have lots of stuff. Solomon says, actually, looking at people, you're going to have all this stuff, but it comes at a cost. Make peace with the fact it's better to live with peace and tranquility, one handful than two at times. And so you've guessed this morning from the Debt Busters clip that we are dealing with this topic of debt stress. The topic title this morning is Stress is Bad, .. Debt. And so debt is a major contributing factor to stress in our life today. And so we're going to be looking at this topic of debt stress, how we can be free from financial slavery. Imagine what Solomon would think if he looked at society today. If he looked at the toil and the striving of man today. Could be very similar to times that he lived in. I think one of the greatest challenges of our time are the increased levels of debt. It's causing incredible stress on households. People, due to debt stress, are feeling helpless. They're feeling hopeless. They're becoming overwhelmed by high debt levels, and it has a negative impact. I think much of the sickness that we see, I think much of the major health issues, the social issues, is related to this topic of debt stress. And here's some stats for us, just to give us an idea of debt levels in South Africa. And these stats come from Stats South Africa. They are an indicator that we are heading right into a debt crisis. 23% of South Africans have money left at the end of the month. More than half of our consumers have to use 75% of their salary to make debt repayments. That's huge. These are stats that are real. They're not just thumbsuck figures. The World Bank gives South Africa this dubious distinction of being the highest borrowing nation in the world. 86% of South Africans are serial borrowers. I'm going to show you a picture. Can we just have that PowerPoint presentation up, please, Beach? Just Brand South Africa just put together a picture of South African spending patterns per month. I want to show you something. I'm wanting to highlight something just so that it might stir something or stimulate something in our hearts. It's very interesting to note that clothing and footwear, we spend 4.78% a year of our total income on clothing and footwear. Okay. Now, if you look what we spend on education, where is it up there? 2.45%. No wonder we have a nation that's illiterate and uneducated, because we are feeding ourselves this desire of looking good, even to the point of having to get into debt to be able to do so. It's a very, very sad picture that Thanks, Beej. We spend more on clothing and footwear than we do on education. When it comes to spending, I believe as a nation that we are out of control, that we are living beyond our means, and our nation is in financial bondage. Therefore, I think it's very necessary that we tackle some of these practical topics, subjects of making change, being free of debt. The Lord has not purposed his people to live in financial bondage, slavery, slaves to debt. He has called us to live free. And the stuff that he's given us, the finances, the income, it's to enjoy and not to be burdened by that. He's given us that stuff as well that we might be a blessing to this world that we're living in and not being a drain on it. We are falling into a debt trap. And so, can I just have that clip up again, the second one, Beej? In my postbox, in fact, 3 months ago, I received this envelope from an unnamed bank, but you would guess who it's from. I actually bank with them, but anyway. They put that in my postbox, and they say, get the lifestyle you want and deserve. Get the lifestyle you want and you deserve. You deserve to have a great life. You deserve to buy stuff, spoil yourself. And by the way, it's possible if you apply for a Nedbank credit card. How many people fall for that? How many people fall into that trap? Yeah, I'm a good person. I do deserve it. And Nedbank will just make, sorry, Nedbank. I'm just using you as an example. Anybody work for Nedbank here? Please forgive me. I should have qualified that first. They're a great bank. I bank with them, by the way. Dig myself out of that hole. But the Lord knows my heart. How many people fall prey to that lure? Just dangle out there. You deserve it. Go out and get it. And by the way, it's easy to do it. Just use this credit card that we're going to give you. That credit card, friends, if we start to use it, it's going to put us into bondage. And we will suffer the consequences and the pain of having to pay back that money that gave us momentary pleasure. This is what Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Very interesting. This same Solomon who pens Ecclesiastes pens Proverbs. And this wisdom, remember when Solomon was made king and the Lord said to him, what can I give to you? What do you want? He says, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom so that I might rule over these people in your wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. And we see something of his wisdom being, okay, he messed up in later years, but we see something of this wisdom being expressed through the Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, practical wisdom, he says this. He says, the rich rule over the poor. And the borrower is slave to the lender. So he's saying, if you are going to fall for that, you deserve it. Get yourself a credit card. He says, the only person who's going to benefit from that is the lender. The rich get richer. They rule over the poor. That's why they sell us this lie that it's okay to enjoy the lifestyle you want and deserve. And by the way, just put it on credit and life's going to be okay. Because they're making money out of your discomfort. And the rich get richer. And then he says the borrower is a slave. What he's actually saying, that if you succumb to that lure, that temptation, you'll become more stressed out by that debt burden that you will carry. Just take a moment. And just for a moment, just pause and imagine what life would be like without financial stress. Just for a moment, without having to worry about paying back every month, like you get your salary, and for those of us who work with budgets, it's like your payback is way more than you earn. The stress that brings. Like now, I've got to feed my family. I've got to pay for the car. I've got to pay for the house. They just mount up, and it's like there's no margin left for anything. Just imagine what it would be like to live free of the stress of debt. See, when we become slave to the lender, friends, is we relinquish control of a kingdom commodity. So when we talk about finances, when we talk about resources, those things we all look at just now in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 are a kingdom commodity. That which God has given us, it's his, it's kingdom. So every cent that we earn is kingdom. God has given it to us. Our cars, we got to look at it from a kingdom perspective. Our houses, we need to look at from a kingdom perspective. It's kingdom, not just stuff, inverted commas, has kingdom value. Kingdom value. And so when we become slave to the lender, what we're doing is we're relinquishing control of things that God has given us into the hands of lenders. It means that we have no power to determine how it's to be used. We're giving control of it to someone else. To be debt-free, to be stress-free, means that I have freedom to decide how to spend my income. And I trust that when we have that freedom, we have freedom to use it in a way that brings glory and honor to God. Just like Solomon, when he had to build the temple, his father David called for resources to be given into the establishing of the temple. The people gave abundantly, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. They gave abundantly. David said, there's just so much stuff. He actually said to them, stop giving. We have an overabundance. Imagine that if we were debt-free and we had finances available to sow, imagine this kingdom advancing, this kingdom that we're a part of, this kingdom that has impacted and transformed our lives. Imagine the impact of this kingdom when our hands are able to release it, these resources. Imagine society transformed because people are living within their means and they're able to be a blessing. Imagine being able to give to somebody who has a need because you have more than enough to be able to give. Being able to pay cash for something, to buy that pair of shoes and go and buy it, not pull out the credit card and pay for it, but pay cash, put it cash on the counter and walk away without feeling guilty and wondering how it's going to come back and bite me next month. Being able to afford a holiday, a weekend away, which is necessary in the busyness of life, without charging it to the credit card and working yourself to the point of death to pay it back. That holiday overseas, I need it. I've got to go. And so I'll put it on the credit card and then I'll pay it off for the next 2 years. Stress. Imagine saving up, having margins at the end of the month and being able to save those margins and build up a nice nest egg, pay for that holiday cash. When you come back free, no stress on the horizon. Imagine being a blessing, being able to sow to those who have need. Not always feeling guilty when you drive past them. Sorry, I can't help you, can't help you, can't help you. But yeah, I can help you. Imagine. Friends, these dreams are impossible if we become a slave to the bank credit card, to the loan shark, or slaves to our Edgar's account. How do we break this bondage? I'm glad you asked. Because we're going to answer those questions from the Word of God this morning. How do we break this bondage? The only way is for us to bring our lives, our finances, our resources into kingdom order. It's the only way we're going to be able to break that bondage. Freedom is when we surrender and we submit and humble ourselves, our income, our paychecks, whatever, into and under kingdom order. And we can only do that when we view these things, as I've said, as spiritual, when we bring it under the authority of Jesus Christ, when we live with a spiritual perspective towards finances. When we live with a spiritual perspective towards finances, it will determine how I steward His money entrusted to me. If I don't, if I just see it as something, as a commodity to be abused, I'll abuse it to meet my own selfish, self-gratifying ends. But when I view it as spiritual, every single cent that lands in our bank account, end of the month, as salary, income, whatever you call it, this is something that God has given me. And I'm wanting to honor Him in the way that I steward it. When we view it like that, friends, I tell you, it'll change the way that we use it or abuse it. Amen? The parable of the faithful servant. Great picture. Matthew chapter 25, and you can read with me. Verses 21 to 22, just talking about stewardship, speaking about kingdom order, the authority of Jesus. And Jesus is sharing this parable, and He tells the story of how he gives out this precious resource. And we pick it up verse 21, Matthew 25. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. In other words, what you've given me, I have multiplied that resource. His master replied, the voice of Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. He is honoring that servant. He is honoring that person for good stewardship. He is honoring that person for bringing what he has been given under into kingdom order. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. He has a promise. It's not slot machine theology, this. This is just spiritual perspective, that when we are faithful with what God has given us, he can entrust us with more. And just maybe every month our margins are so tight and there's like nothing, and we say, well, why, Lord? Well, Jesus says, well, how are you stewarding what I've given you, sir, ma'am, Nick? How are you looking after? How are you using that precious resource that I've given you? He says, you have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. And then he says, come, share in your master's happiness. God delights, friends, when we steward well what he has given us. Can I say this morning that we cannot expect the blessing and the favor of God if we haven't stewarded well the resources that he has entrusted to us. We don't steward it well so that we can get more. We steward it well so we may honor him. And the byproduct of faithful living is the favor and the blessing of God. Getting into debt is not good stewardship. It's bad. Creates stress, creates pain, heartache, and trouble for families. And so this morning, in the context of our series topic, make some change. Stress is bad. Debt is bad. So how do I get out of this hole? Firstly, point number one, self-control. So Ellen, you'll enjoy this because I think you and I are pretty close in our, I found out last night. We are pretty close in our likes. So that song by Queen, Freddie Mercury. You like Queen, I know. Great song. I love Queen. Just the music. I want it all. You know that song? Eh? Come on, say, I want it all. I want it now. Isn't that the cry of society? I want it all. And I want it, Tony, now. I wish you were here with a guitar, buddy, with all of your... This song by Queen, I want it now. I want it all. It epitomizes this culture of selfishness and self-gratification of society. I'm a man. These are the lyrics. Just taking a portion. I'm a man with a one-track mind. I'm a man with a one-track mind. So much to do in one lifetime. So I'm living it all. And I'm living it all. And the chorus goes, I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now. Doesn't it sound like a two-year-old throwing a frothy on the floor? I want it all. I want it all. And I want it now. Eh? Nets? You're nodding your head. You know what that is? It's lacking self-control. That little two-year-old, they got to learn self-control. You got to teach that two-year-old self-control. They're not born with self-control. We're not born with self-control. And what God does through his word, the work of the Holy Spirit, is teaches us self-control. And sometimes we like that little two-year-old in the kitchen floor. I want it all. I want it all. I want it now. Wah, wah, wah. We make a big noise about it. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, Solomon's wisdom. Actually, God's wisdom spoken to Solomon. This is what he writes. He says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. You know, in those days, cities were fortified, protected by walls, impenetrable, like at Jericho, that nobody came in and went out because it was just so fortified. He says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a person who lacks self-control. Solomon is using this picture of a city with breaks in its wall. He's saying that when we open ourselves up to this lack of self-control, we are like a city whose walls are broken down. We are open to attack. We are vulnerable to, guess what? Debt. In the context of what we're sharing this morning. If we don't exercise restraint, we open ourselves up to a whole bunch of pain and trouble. If you lack self-control, friends, here's the reality, is that you probably don't have a kingdom vision that is defining your life. We don't have self-control. We don't have a kingdom vision that defines our life, that determines how I invest my time, determines how I spend my finances. Kingdom vision. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, for where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Kingdom vision. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Where your heart is, your hands will follow. If you don't have one, if you don't have a kingdom vision, please this morning in the context of this message, ask God for one. It's helpful to have one. Resolve that I'm going to invest my time, my resources into one thing. We can't do it all. One thing that is kingdom. For us, God started to stir something in our hearts many, many years ago to plant a church. And please, again, I'm not going to share from a martyr perspective. Don't feel sorry for us. It's what God called us to do, to plant a church. And we were living the good life. We had a game card. We had an Edgar's card. We had a credit card. We had every single card under the sun. God called us and I'm wanting you to plant a church. And suddenly we realized, geez, if we're going to plant a church with all of these cards, this debt burden, how are we going to plant a church? How are we going to lead a church? We'll be too busy, tied up our time, our effort, and our energy in resolving our debt issue. We were at a church planters course and a pastor said to us, the best thing, the first thing you can do before you lead a church is to be debt free. I can remember Shells and I stood in the kitchen and we took those cards. We brought our scissors out and we chopped them up into little pieces and we threw them in the bin. We went to those places and we said, don't issue us another card. What we were doing is we were learning and exercising some self-control. Kingdom vision. It will determine how you live your life. It will mean you'll have to say no to some stuff. And yes to what he says requires humility, a heart that's surrendered. And so we planted the church, friends, and we planted the church with one debt. We had a second-hand car, great car, second-hand car, but we were debt-free except for a house. So some guys say that in the context, all debt is bad. But we understand you can't afford, many people can't afford to buy a house cash or a car cash. But we said, we're going to try to limit all our debt. By the time we planted the church, we had one debt, was a house. We needed a house to live in and rather pay off something that we owned rather than pay off something that somebody else owned. That was our conviction. So we made a decision to say no to some stuff, to live lighter so we could move into that which God had called us. And I just feel this morning, the Lord is speaking to some hearts this morning, say live lighter so that you might move into that which God has called you. But you can only know what God has called you into if you ask him what it is. Don't just live for the here and now, those things that give temporal pleasure and pressure. A little slip of the tongue. I nearly said pressure. Live with a kingdom perspective, a vision that is far bigger than something that is temporal, that has eternity in heart and mind. So that's the first thing. Work on self-control. Secondly is wisdom. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It's not often those books that we read, but Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, this is what he says. He says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. In other words, my people are destroyed because they are unwise. Ask God, in the context of finances, resources, ask God for his wisdom. Making it practical this morning. This is 101 practical gospel. Ask God for his wisdom before making major financial decisions. And again, when we ask God for his wisdom, is we go to this first, his word. He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And his everything is contained in these pages of his word, his truth, the word of God. Ask God for his wisdom before making major financial decisions. I tell you, I'm grateful that I'm on a team where guys can speak into my life in the context of financial decisions. When we make financial decisions, buying a car, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to lie. Who did we speak to? To Gron Coley. So we went to a man. We said, listen, we're wanting to buy a car in the context of our income. Help us. You know, is it the right thing? Is it the wrong thing? We got some input from Grant. Helpful. Just in case we make a mistake and we gratify ourselves and we just go ahead and make a decision. And so I'm wanting to encourage us, go to God's word. Use a trusted, faith-filled person. Not faithful to you. Faithful person, one who honors God, knows his word. Go to that person and ask them for some perspective. That's what we do. We just ask Grant for some perspective. Give us a perspective so we might honor God and not make doff decisions. Be wise in how you spend, especially with regard to key purchases. Can I say again, it's difficult to buy a home or a car cash today. Don't overcapitalize. Buy a brand new car. We go and we buy a brand new car instead of a secondhand car that is cheaper, that will do. So we tie ourselves to this debt burden. You know, I have a great friend, actually a friend of Grant's as well, Steve Wimble. And I remember, just to share a story, is that we were on a team with, I think it was 9 elders at the time in Maritzburg in a church. And we got to a point where we found, hey, geez, the finances weren't working out. Our margins were like, wasn't even a margin there. Said, hey, Steve, can we meet with you? Now, hey, that's humbling. Steve was unmarried and much younger than me, but he is a man that I trusted. He's a man that I looked at his life, and he honored God in the way that he used finances. He was, you know, he's your mate. He's very generous. He's so, like, you cannot believe. But he was very upright. Say, hey, want that man to speak into. I want him to help me with my finances. Sat with him, Shelley and I. Said, hey, buddy, this is our budget monthly. Just can't make ends meet. He went through our budget. He says, hey, what can you do without? He says, no, we can't do without anything. This is our budget. We're already cutting it close to the bone. Haley was small at that age. I think she was just under 8 years old. She is a Natal gymnast, and she was selected to go and compete at the Interprovincials in Pretoria. He says, listen, you know, I see you're paying X amount per month for gym fees there. Don't you think you can cut that out? Hey, poor Haley. How can we rob her? He says, is that a necessity? I said, no, what's... quite nice for her to be able to do it. Can you cut it out? Okay, listen, cut it out. Said, okay, we can save X amount there. Felt a bit grim about Haley. Do you know what Haley was part of there? She was in a process of watching stewardship at work. I tell you, I want to honor my daughter this morning. She's got a handle on finances today because she learned that as an 8-year-old. But not only did she learn faithfulness as an 8-year-old, she learned about the faithfulness of God because a week later, got a phone call from the gym to say, I see you withdrawn her. I said, yeah, sorry, we can't afford it. No, no problem. We'll make a plan for her. We'll absorb it. Faithful with the little, the small decisions. God will entrust to you more. I share that with you to encourage you, because often we think, oh, we're going to rob our kids by making a decision. Can't do this, can't go there, can't buy that. Teach them something when we actually say no at times for the sake of the bigger picture to be debt free. Amen? That's good news, by the way. It really is good news. Steve Wimble uses that same story today when he's counseling people about debt. He says, hey, I've got a friend who came to me with his finances. Guess what? God came through for them. It's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Point number 3, last one. To get out of that black hole of debt, have a plan. Have a plan. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, Solomon writes, he says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Hasty in spending, unwise in spending leads to poverty. That's what he's saying. He said, but if you're diligent, if you honor God, if you apply truth, if you are humble, and you are surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ, it will lead to profit. Hezekiah, upon becoming king, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, this is what the word says, that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now you must know that there was king after king after king after king until Hezekiah that did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Hezekiah becomes king. He has a conviction upon his heart. He says, actually, as a people, we can't live like this. And so what he does is he brings kingdom order. He did what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And the first thing they did was repent as a nation. He got a nation to repent. We cannot, friends, walk in the fear of God. We cannot do what is right in the eyes of the Lord unless there is repentance. And the first part of our plan of getting out of debt is repentance. It's the first thing on our knees before God, I'm sorry, Lord. The Lord is faithful and just and will forgive us, the Bible says. That's how gracious he is. You can't have a plan without repentance. Repentance means is that I humble myself under his mighty hand and I turn from my way of recklessness and I honor God and I bring my life, my finances, my resources under his authority. It breaks the yoke and it sets us free. But it's not enough just to repent. There's some practical things we can do. Quantify your debt. Quantify your debt. In other words, have a look at your debt. Cut off credit lines, even if it means chopping those cards up into little pieces. Deal with it. Close those accounts. And say, don't ever send me a card again. And if I come in and I'm wanting to reopen that account that I've closed, please say no. Because you're not helping me. And if you're struggling there, phone a friend. Say, help me. There have been times where we have sat with friends' cards, holding fast to that card so that they wouldn't be tempted. Speak to your creditors. Honor them. Put a plan in place to pay that debt off. Don't just be like an ostrich, put your head in the sand and hope it goes away. Honor God and he'll lift you up. Third point, under have a plan. Deal severely with temptation. Walk in the fear of God. Nehemiah, incredible guy who impacted a nation and the world in his rebuilding, is that he walked in the fear of God. Like Hezekiah, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Deal severely with temptation. Destroy credit cards, close non-essential accounts. And I understand we need to have lights and water. I'm not saying go close those and live in the dark. But we don't need an Edgar's account. We don't need an Edgar's account. In case you didn't hear that, we don't need an Edgar's account. Close it. And then lastly, institute a realistic budget with a little help from a friend. Be ruthless in it. I don't know how we can get by today without having a budget. I really don't know how we can make ends meet without having a budget. I earn this much. I spend this much. You know, sit down, plan it. You can't just wing it. You're going to get into trouble. Have a budget and be ruthless in adhering to it. So in closing, friends, I pray this morning for us that we live by the revelation that everything we have belongs to God. And he has entrusted it to us. And that the way that we use it, the way that we steward it, the way that we distribute it, that we bring glory to him. Turn quickly to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I'm going to read a portion of scripture. Please read it with me. I'd love for us on the back of that to engage our hearts with God. Maybe I can ask the music team to come up, please. And David, again, as he's collected a whole bunch of stuff for the building of the temple. Not to build his temple, by the way. He was restoring the tabernacle. He is restoring the temple of God that was destroyed. And he says his heart was, we need a place that we can worship God in. We need a place that we can honor God in. And so all of these resources are gathered to rebuild this temple. And we'll pick it up in verse 12. He says, wealth and honor come from you. Wealth and honor come from you. And so here's an attitude. David is on his knees. And he's saying everything. He's looking at everything he has. He's looking at the people. He's lifting God high. He says, wealth and honor come from you. Notice his surrendered heart. Wealth and honor come from you. It's not about me. Not about my stuff, my needs, my desires. He says wealth and honor come from you. And this morning, I just have a sense he wants us to lift up our hearts to understand wealth and honor come from him. He says, you are the ruler of all things. Not me. You are the ruler. I didn't gather this stuff. You gave it, Lord. He says, in your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. So having a look up, a perspective of God who is high and mighty, lifted up in control of all things, who gives everything to everyone. He says, now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. He says, who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? And then he says this. He says, we can't give this generously unless we acknowledge that you are the one who provides all things. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Everything comes from you, and we have given only you what comes from your hand.